Freedom is a big deal in America. It's what our country was founded on. Freedom is a value that Americans hold deeply. Freedom is something that we dream about. Freedom is what we live for, and freedom is what we die for as Americans. And that's why it's really important for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus to make sure that we don't confuse how the culture defines freedom and what that is with how Jesus talks about freedom and what that is. We have to be extra careful because we live in a culture that defines freedom in a kind of a specific way. And sometimes the freedom that Christ wants us to walk in complements American ideas of freedom. And sometimes the freedom Christ calls us to walk in is in conflict with American ideas of freedom. And we have to remember that God has called us to be distinct and different, aliens and foreigners in whatever culture that we live. And we have to make sure that we're not confusing our freedom in Christ with that freedom that comes from the culture or from our national history. And how cool it is that we're studying a letter that was written 2,000 years ago, and yet this letter is going to help us with an issue that's very relevant to us today about how we live in the freedom that Christ brings to us. I'm always just amazed at how God is thinking about us even in these letters right here. So let's hear what 1 Corinthians has to say, beginning in chapter 9, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. All right, now to help understand what Paul's talking about right here, this passage I just read comes from the kind of a whole section, chapters 8 through 10, where Paul is addressing a controversy that's going on in the Corinthian church about what kind of meat that you can eat. And some of the Corinthians had no problem with eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. In fact, most of the meat you were going to buy back then had been sacrificed to idols and then was sold in the marketplace. And so for some of those followers of Jesus at Corinth, they didn't have any problem with eating that meat. They had been set free from the power of idols. They had been set free from the worship of idols. And they didn't really care where the meat came from. It was meat and they ate it when it was available. And Paul agrees with them that they are free to eat meat. Don't have to worry about where it comes from, because that was okay for them. If meat had been sacrificed to some idol, he didn't want them participating in the sacrifices. But if that later meat was sold in the marketplace, Paul's like, as long as you're free from this, it's not a problem. However, there were some followers of Jesus at Corinth who felt really convicted about eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And for them, that eating that meat sacrificed to idols, they still felt like it had some evil influence over them. And that they were to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols, it might pull them back into that evil sphere of influence. So you had these two groups of people in Corinth. Some said, it doesn't matter where the meat comes from, eat it and enjoy it. And you had another group going, man, if I know that this meat's been sacrificed to an idol, it does something to me and feels connected to me in a way that is not good for me. And the people at Corinth, if you read the letter, the people at Corinth have basically said, those who felt free to eat meat said, I'm free to eat meat. If I want to eat meat, I'm going to eat meat, right? It's my right to eat meat. By golly, nobody's going to tell me I can't eat meat if I want to eat meat. Does that sound familiar to y'all? I can do whatever I want to do. That was important. And they had a right to eat what they wanted. And so that was what they were going to do. And for them, freedom meant independence from others. Freedom meant I don't have to think about you when I make the choice that I make. Freedom for them meant they could do what was best for them. Freedom for them meant they demanded their rights. They had a right, even Paul agreed, that they had a right to eat meat that had been sacrificed and nobody was going to take it away from them. And Paul enters into this argument here. And you can just see Paul shaking his head. I mean, you got to feel Paul in this. Paul's like, really, guys? Man, did I teach you anything? Paul begins what we call chapter 9 with saying, am I not free? Paul says, I'm free. And then we get to the section we read where Paul talks about, hey, I'm free. And so listen to what he says. He says, verse 19, though I am free and I belong to no one. Paul says, I'm free. Y'all are free. I'm free. Absolutely. I'm free. I belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible to him. Paul was free, but what did he use his freedom for? Paul was free to become a slave to people so that he could win as many as possible to Christ. Paul was not free from people. He was not free to do whatever he wanted to do. Now, that's not what freedom meant to Paul. Paul's freedom meant that he was no longer a slave to his own self-centeredness. He had been freed from slavery to sin and death and to idol worship and to worshiping himself. And now he was free to actually begin to serve the people around him with the idea that what I want above everything else is to win as many people as possible to Christ. That's why he says here in verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, and he's still talking about the Jews here, those under the law, I became like one under the law so as to win those under the law. Paul said, I've been set free. Paul said, some of the rules and rituals and circumstances that the Jewish people are living under, that they're insisting on, he says, I've discovered that I'm no longer bound by any of those things. I have a right to do things that they don't think I have a right to do. And yet Paul says, I lay down my rights when I'm with the Jewish people to live in a way however I want to. He says, I lay that down so that I can serve them. Paul says, I am free to serve. Not bound to self, not bound to thinking only about myself. He says, now I'm free to serve them. He says in verse 21, to those not having the law, and that would be everybody else in the world to Paul, Gentiles, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Paul said, I could have insisted when I was with Gentiles that they obey all the same rules I obey, that they eat all the same food that I eat. Paul had authority. He was, and people respected authority in this day. He had status and position. He could have insisted that the Gentiles live under his rules. But he said, I don't do that. So I have a right to do it, but I'm free from that. I'm free from thinking. Freedom is simply about me and what I want and what's best for me. And I am free to serve those that I'm looking at and saying, how is it possible that I best win them to Jesus Christ? He says in verse 22, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. When Paul is talking about the weak, he's talking about those without honor, those without status, those without money, those without position. That was a big deal in Paul's day. And Paul had status. Paul had some position. Paul had lots of titles after his name. Paul was one of the most well-educated people around. And in that culture, in that day, when Paul was around people of lesser status and of lesser social position, he could have made all kinds of demands of them around food and what they did and how they treated him. And Paul said, I don't do that. Man, when I'm around those without status and honor and position, he said, I just become one with them and my mind is not on my rights and demanding that I be treated any certain way. My mind is simply on loving them and what does it look like to serve them so that some people come to know about Jesus. That's what freedom looked like for Paul. Paul's freedom wasn't the freedom to do whatever he wanted without regard to others. That's not what it was about. Paul's freedom wasn't the freedom to express his desires, his identities, or his feelings without limits. His freedom was not the freedom to demand his rights. Paul said, that's not what Christ has set me free for. For Paul, freedom was being set free to be the kind of human that God had created him to be. That was the core. I've been set free, Paul said, to now be the kind of person that God created us to be from the very beginning. Freedom for him. He was free to belong to Christ and to live as a slave to God. That's what freedom was for him. Freedom to do whatever he wanted, Paul believed, was hell. Paul believed the freedom to do whatever I want is what unleashed all the death, dysfunction, disorder upon God's good creation. And Paul was free from that, and he was now free to be a servant of God and to live as his slave. Paul was free to love and serve others. God had set him free so that he could love and serve the people around him. He was free to lay down his rights. He was free to lay down his rights and to pick up his cross, and at great cost to himself, make Christ known to the world. Paul said, this is what freedom is. This is what it looks like to be free. Paul says, guys, look at me. Look how I lived among you. You want to know what Christ has set you free for? It's free for this. Now, where would Paul get such a crazy idea about this kind of freedom? That was strange in his day. And I would tell you that kind of freedom is strange in our day. Would you not? Hey, you know, somebody says, I am free to serve. I'm free to love. I'm free to bless. I'm free not to demand my rights, whatever. Where would Paul get such a crazy idea that this is what freedom looks like? Maybe Jesus? Yeah, I think so. In fact, when Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says this, and we come to this passage all the time because it's so central to our life together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. No one was ever more free than Jesus. No one was ever more free than Jesus. Jesus gives us a picture of what it looks like to live in the freedom that God wants his people to have and he wants his people to express. And this is the freedom right here. We're reading about in Philippians 2. This is the freedom that our lives are called to proclaim. And we can be grateful and we can appreciate the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, and at the same time, realize that we are a unique and distinct people. In whatever place, in whatever time that we live in, called to give expression to a kingdom that is coming and beginning to be experienced now and one day coming in all its fullness. This is the kind of freedom our lives are called to proclaim. Listen, oftentimes American freedom says, I am most free when nobody can tell me what to do. Jesus says, you are most free when you are a servant to him. That you are most free when you have laid down your life to serve God. American freedom says, I can do what I want without worrying about the people around me. Jesus says, you are free to love your neighbor. American freedom says, how can I protect my rights? Jesus says, you are free to lay down your rights and to pick up your cross, so that your neighbors might come to know the love of God. Freedom, American freedom says, I am free to express myself, identify myself. I'm free to decide for myself. The most important thing is me being true to myself. Jesus says, you are free to represent Christ. He says, you are free to live for his glory. You are free to take up your cross and make him known. That's the freedom that Christ gives to us. Somebody, Steve De La Seuss, right there he is, sent me a picture. He's cleaning out his house. Sent me a picture of COVID mask. He was trying to give me trauma, remembering the COVID days at church. He's cleaning out. He didn't think he needed to keep his COVID mask. And man, some of you guys were here in the COVID time. And as traumatizing as that time was, I want you to also know it was a beautiful time in the life of our church. Because you know what happened during COVID time? When we were trying to figure out spacing and mask and everything else, some of y'all felt very passionate that you had a right not to be around unmasked people. And some of you felt very passionate that you had a right not to ever wear a mask in your whole life. And you know what people did at our church? They loved one another. People laid down their rights. People who didn't like the idea of wearing a mask put a mask on and they came to church. And that time destroyed some churches. Man, our church was blessed in that time. Our church was blessed because you were free not to demand your rights, not to do whatever you wanted without regard to anybody else. You knew the freedom that was in Christ to love your neighbor and to say, how can I serve them? And so God did some amazing things in the life of our church during that time with some people who are willing to walk in the freedom that Christ brings. Hey, in America, we're free to say whatever we want most of the time, historically. But here's the thing I hear from people regularly now. Hey, I'm watching very carefully what I say. And that's a good thing. That's a freedom in Christ. I'm not saying what I have a right to say because I'm looking at my neighbor and saying, will this bless my neighbor? Will this love my neighbor? Will this give me an opportunity to speak to them about Jesus? Will this help me just to get to know them and understand them so that I might win some of them to Jesus Christ? That's what's going on right here. That's what Paul is encouraging us to do. I mean, you guys are free. Thank God we're free in America to go about your day doing whatever you want to do. But what I hear people at our church saying over and over again is, man, today I want to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want my life to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And I've got an agenda. I've got things I want to do. I've got things I want to say. But what I just want to live this day, surrender to Him because I belong to Him. He set me free not to do whatever I want to do. He set me free to follow Him, to be His servant, to live surrendered to Him. People living in that kind of freedom are giving expression to the kingdom of God. People living in that freedom are giving expression to God's kingdom on earth in the here and the now. Let me share one more passage with you because the youth covered this passage, I think, this last Wednesday. John chapter 13 says this, beginning in verse 2. It says, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus could do whatever he wanted to do. He knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. He knew all things were under his power. Don't you dream sometimes about all things being under your power? Where nobody's what you dream about when the lottery gets over $1 billion. You're like, if I was able to do whatever I wanted to do, if nobody could stand in my way, if I was not limited in any way, what do you dream about doing? I would be free too. Here's what Jesus does. Knowing he had all power, that he was divinely free. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. You see that? He had all power. And so, knowing he was about to leave his disciples, Jesus gets up and he performs the task of a servant. The washing of the feet was a servant's task. Knowing that he had all power, he could do whatever he wanted to do. He washed his disciples' feet. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus said to them, you guys see what I did? He said, now do that. Now do that. Can you imagine a place where everybody is free to serve their neighbor, where everybody's free to love their neighbor, where everybody's thinking about how what I do is gonna impact my neighbor, and everybody's loving on one another in this way? Jesus says to his body, you saw what I did. Now, if you do this, you'll be blessed. I came to give you abundant life. This is what it is. This is being set free to serve, to look at your neighbor and to consider the other and to say, God, above all things, I don't want to do whatever I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And then I want to look at my neighbor and live my life in service to those around me. And then we are free. Today we get to celebrate Holy Communion. And in this meal, we remember that Jesus had all power. And with all power, what he chose to do was to lay down his life for us. And because of this, we find life. And the Father was pleased with what he did, so he exalted him to the right hand and gave him the name above every name. God said, this is it. This is what it means to be human. This is what it means to be free. And so we come to this table today remembering the cross that to the world is a cruel expression of hate, but for Jesus becomes a sign of true human freedom. And Jesus invites us not simply to remember what he did, but when you come forward today and you hold your hands out, and we place the bread in your hand, it's Jesus with a handout saying, now follow me. You saw what I did. You saw how I lived. You see what it means to be free. And so he says, now join me. And he says, and if you join me, it will feel like giving your life away. It will feel like dying to self. But he says, you'll be blessed. And you will discover, man, what life is. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that what you call us to do and how you call us to live is just to follow you. It's what you did for us. It's how you lived before us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the freedom to associate and worship here. We are so grateful for that. We thank you for the freedom to speak our minds about our religion, about our politics. We are so grateful for that. Lord, and we thank you for that. And yet, Lord, where you have placed us today, there's another kind of freedom that's even greater than that. It's a kind of freedom that seems like foolishness to the world, where we, instead of demanding our rights, we lay down our rights. Instead of doing whatever we want to do, we become servants to the people around us. Where instead of seeking a place where I can follow my own desires and my own truths and my own feelings, we come to that place where we want nothing but to be yours. So Lord, teach us to live as a people who give expression to your kingdom. Make us unique, distinct, salt and light, so that those around us wonder about us, so that they begin to ask us questions. And Lord, let us live such strange, weird lives that our family and our friends and our coworkers go, what's going on with you? Why are you doing that? And then we have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Lord, we remember how on the night when you were betrayed, how you gathered your disciples around and you took bread and you gave thanks and you gave it to them. You said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember when the supper was over, how you took the cup and you raised it up and you gave thanks. And you gave it to your disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you. for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we gather around this table today in remembrance of you, in remembrance of the life you lived, that you showed us what it means to be truly human. You showed us what abundant life looks like. And Lord, it doesn't always look that way to us, but you invite us to trust you. You love us and you invite us to trust you. And so by your Holy Spirit today, make these simple gifts of bread and juice be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that as we come forward, we do more than remember. Lord, we say yes to the invitation to walk in your freedom, to give expression to your kingdom. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast at that banquet when all things are made right. We pray this in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.